Listener supported. WNYC Studios.
Brian Lehrer on WNYC. So what is it that the protesters at Columbia and elsewhere are actually calling for? In many cases, they have moved the focus from the Israeli military campaign itself and U.S. government participation in it to the role of their colleges themselves, specifically calling for divestment from Israel in various ways, a part of the movement known as BDS, or Boycott, Divest, and Sanction Israel. USA Today staff writer Claire Thornton is writing about what the campus protesters are actually calling for. She spoke to students at Columbia and Princeton specifically, and what that would involve to, or what it would involve to implement what they want, and she joins us to explain. Claire, thank you for coming on. Welcome to WNYC.
Hey, Brian. Thanks for having me.
You begin one of your articles by simply defining the word divest. Would you start there with a definition?
Yeah. So the word divest refers to diverting money that's in a university's endowment. The endowment is the pool of money a college has and tries to grow through investments. And student organizers at Columbia are saying we should divest from weapons manufacturers, companies that make military equipment that they say is currently being used in Gaza, because they say that the military attacks there go against their values. And Columbia's endowment is more than $13 billion. It's one of the wealthiest universities in the country. And so there's a lot of money at stake. And these university students, in addition to calling for a ceasefire, they're saying, hey, we're all part of this university community, and we have this money, that some of which may be being invested in companies that are directly involved in the war in Gaza. And we think that goes against our community's values.
So you define the word divest. Now, can you briefly explain what an endowment is, since they're calling for a divestment from Israel in the school's endowments? So what an endowment is, people hear the word, but they don't necessarily know what it means, and how colleges use and manage their endowments?
Yeah. So an endowment is a big pool of money. And at colleges like Princeton, Yale, MIT, some of the colleges that are in headlines this week, they have some of the biggest endowments in the country, tens of billions of dollars. A lot of that money is donated from alumni. And universities hire finance experts to privately manage their investments. And the point of an investment is you want to grow it. The structure and rules of an endowment say that you have to preserve it. You can't spend more money than the money that the endowment is making in income, investment income, because you need to preserve it so that you can keep funding your university's basic operations, teaching, maintaining buildings.
Well, that's right. We'll go on from here. That's the basics of it. Well done. By the way, I looked up, I was curious to know if it's just these most elite colleges that have endowments. And listeners, you might be interested in this. The website of the American Council on Education has a study of endowments from a few years ago, the late teens, and found that the median endowment for public four-year colleges, because that was one of my questions, oh, do state schools have endowments? And they do, or at least they can. The median endowment for public four-year colleges as of 2018 was about the same as for private colleges, about $35 million. but that most public colleges have limited endowments or none at all. Most public colleges have limited endowments or none at all. So when we see Columbia, for example, at $13 billion, as Claire reported, compared to a median nationally of $35 million for public and private colleges and universities, and many with none at all, we can understand, Claire, why the elite universities are where the calls for divestment are focused, right? But it also means the encampments at many other schools are necessarily focused on other things. I don't know if you've reported on that.
I have really focused on what's going on at Columbia and Princeton. And the bigger a university's endowment is, more is at stake. That's what economists who study college endowments say. And that's exactly why pro-Palestinian student protesters at wealthy universities like Columbia and Princeton and MIT are fighting so hard this week. No matter what the investment is, no matter the size, big or small, there are always going to be differences of opinion about what you should invest in according to your values and what you shouldn't invest in. And the reason why this debate we're seeing about college divestment is so fraught or controversial is because for an institution like Columbia, it's going to be so much harder for them to say, yes, we're going to invest in this. No, we're not going to invest in this because they're an institution. It's much easier for an individual to say, yeah, I'm going to buy stocks of this company because they align with my values and I'm not going to invest in this company.
Now, listeners, we can take just a few phone calls in this explainer segment if you support or oppose divestment from companies somehow related to the Israeli side of the war in Gaza. Just for other listeners to hear an argument or two for or against. It's a relatively short segment. It's an explainer segment. But we know there are different points of view out there. As I said at the beginning of the show today, we're trying to respect different points of view. And so there are people for or against divestment. And we'll take just a couple of phone calls, maybe just to model the arguments. 212-433-WNYC, 212-433-9692. So people from the encampments, if you're listening, or others supportive of the protest, you can call. I know supporters of BDS say it's a nonviolent alternative to groups like Hamas, just economic pressure and support of human rights. Listeners opposed, you can call too. I know that some Jewish organizations frame BDS as anti-Semitic because they see it as an attempt to delegitimize even the existence of Israel as a Jewish state, not just pressure it to end the occupation. Or listeners, if you have a question, 212-433-WNYC. Also welcome for Claire Thornton, who wrote a What Do the Campus Protesters Want? Explainer for USA Today. Call or text 212-433-9692. I see you spoke to students at Columbia and Princeton this week about what they want. What are some of the things you heard?
Yeah. So students at Princeton, for example, have been very active around different kinds of calls for divestment for more than a decade. There's a group on campus called Sunrise Princeton, which was previously called Divest Princeton, and they have really rallied around divesting from the fossil fuel industry, citing concerns about the environment and climate change. And in 2022, advocates for that group actually landed a pretty big win. And because of years of pressure, the endowment will be divested, was starting to divest from publicly traded oil and gas companies. And that group, like I said, focuses on the environment. And more recently, they're calling to divest from Israel. And I spoke with one student, a sophomore, who said that as far as Sunrise Princeton is concerned, they're very much against the violence and destruction in Gaza. And in addition to the human rights violations, they said they see it as an environmental issue too. They use the word ecocide. They say the war is destroying the environment in Gaza and parts of places where attacks are happening.
Let's take a phone call. Here's Brian in Queens in support of BDS. Brian, you're on WNYC. Thank you for calling in.
Hi, good morning. Yes, I'm in support of this because it really is, as you say, just an avenue to really show that we're not supporting our money and especially weapons being used to kill innocent Palestinians. In addition to that, I would say to your second point that when it came to people who are pro-Israel side saying delegitimizing their state, Israel state. I just say this, the whole purpose and everything, the narrative for Israel has been to delegitimize the Palestinian people. Any civilian deaths that have happened, whether it's the bombing of those poor, four innocent people by drone strikes, that has always been an excuse of Hamas this, Hamas that, and they're always given the benefit of the doubt with the media. But then when it's the other way around, the pro-Palestinian side is always met with maximum scrutiny, being called Hamas lovers, etc.
Brian, thank you very much. And now I thank an opponent of BDS, Alan in Brooklyn. You're on WNYC. Hello, Alan.
Yes, and I'm an opponent with a very complex view on this because I'm also conscious of the fact that I think there's been overkill by Netanyahu and damage of a lot of property that has a lot of invested carbon fuel in it, and I criticize him intensely. But I think there's been a kind of a tipping over from criticizing him and his policies to identifying all of that with the entire Israeli state. And I would really caution against that momentum that's building and spilling over into anti-Semitism generally and treating every Jew on a campus as if he's personally responsible for the excesses in Netanyahu. If there is going to be collective guilt against Jewish students at Columbia, then that would say that the Israeli attempt to blame Palestinians in Gaza for the acts of Hamas is also justified collective guilt. It goes both ways. We really have to be reasoned and moderate here and not overshoot the mark, even if we have strong beliefs, as I do, that Netanyahu has made mistakes. And a lot of that involves climatic damage. And that's not a reason to divest from Israel, but to correct the path of Israel.
To supporters of BDS who say this is a nonviolent economic form of pressure that could be effective even at reducing Israel's military footprint and the occupation, how would you respond?
In terms of population and geography, I think there's a lot of ignorance among students who were born after the Six-Day War or the Yom Kippur War of the tiny proportion of the region that Israel's land represents and tiny proportion of the population that it represents. And also the disproportionate level of criticism of Israel for its excesses, given the proximity of threats to it compared to other threats the U.S. has responded to very disproportionately, as in Iraq, when there were no weapons of mass destruction there, yet we sent shock and awe half a world away for political reasons that had nothing to do with the real threat they pose to our country. So I'm not saying don't ever criticize anyone for their excesses or their faults, but I'm saying there should be some kind of balance and equal distribution of the criticism. And I think it's been unduly focused on Israel.
Thank you for your call. We appreciate it. And we appreciate the previous caller with the opposing point of view. Claire, here's a question from a listener who writes, divestment targets from the BDS movement focus primarily on arms manufacturers, which begs the question, why are universities invested in arms manufacturing in the first place? I don't know if your reporting can answer that question, but I'm curious if it's come up.
That is a really excellent question. The person who posed that question is pretty spot on. There's a group at Columbia called Columbia University Apartheid Divestment that is a group of many, many student organizations on campus. Many Jewish students are involved. And if you go to that group's Instagram, you will see that they are calling for divestment of 5 or 6 specific weapons manufacturers and companies that make military equipment that they say is being used. And so they say that Colombia needs to halt investments in those and halt investments in Israel overall. But an economist I spoke to said that what colleges do with their funds at the end of the day is very, very complicated. And it may be very difficult to define what an investment in Israel entails. An economist named Sandy Baum, who studies college endowments, said that could mean a weapons manufacturer. It could also mean divesting from an airline company that flies to Israel. Some bigger investments might be more obvious than smaller ones, much smaller ones that might be tucked away in mutual funds. The kind of investment tool that pools money and spreads it out over many assets. And that's something that college endowments are invested in.
And another listener responding to the previous texter writes, why divest from arms manufacturers? We need those arms for Ukraine. So it goes round and round and down many spurs. Just one more question before you go. As a historical note, you mentioned in your article that back in 1969, there was a student occupation of a prominent building on the Princeton campus in support of divestment from South Africa during the apartheid era. And nearly a decade later, Princeton did announce what it called a selective divestment. I'm curious what selective divestment means.
I need to look into that a bit more. That's a very important question. But part of the answer is that Princeton pretty much made it clear that they're going to take a closer look at companies in South.
Whoops. Did we just lose Claire's line? Do we have Claire Thornton from USA Today? I guess we lost Claire's line. But you know what? It's about the end of the segment anyway. And I guess we're going to leave it there. So we thank, whether she can hear me or not, Claire Thornton from USA Today for that explainer on what the campus encampments and the people there are actually asking for. Brian Lehrer on WNYC, we turn the page, much more to come.